It's exactly 10 past 11, Wednesday the 2nd of August. Time to speak to George Mills at El País. Good morning, George.
Good morning to you, Bill.
And we begin. Life on the coast is always hot and bothersome in August.
Thanks for telling me that. I was just imagining sitting on a beach this morning as I jumped on the Madrid underground train, so you've made me feel less jealous than I might otherwise be.
Well, we love the tourists, but August is mad month. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Sure.
Let's start with a rather sad story, an attack on a tourist bus, in fact.
Well, yeah, tourism is the topic of the summer this year. It's always a big issue in Spain, but for some reason this year there seems to have been some sort of summit reached, and now everyone is just talking about the negative effects of tourism. But there seems to be like people are living in two different dimensions. So depending on which side you look at, you either get heaps and heaps of positive news about tourism, or you get heaps and heaps of negative news about tourism. So, you know, apparently, for example, Spaniards are all rushing back to holiday after the crisis. They've got some extra cash, and they're getting out and about, and they're heading overseas, which is all supposed to be good news. We're looking for another record-breaking tourism year, lots of jobs being created, and then, like you say, we have this story from Barcelona about a tour bus full of people being stopped by masked individuals and vandalized. So basically what happened is these guys, I assume that they were men, but who knows, they stopped a bus and sprayed on the front, "Tourism is killing our neighborhoods."
Really? Good Lord.
Yeah, really strange stuff. And no one was injured, but really unnerving, I would imagine, if you've been on that bus, you've come to Barcelona for a good time and someone does that to you. And curiously, the town hall took quite a few days to condemn the attack, which put a lot of people offside. They thought that the city authorities should have come out straight away and said, look, this is not on. We've got to protect people. Eventually, the mayor did come out and make some pretty strong statements. Good on her. But, it's just left people with a bad taste in their mouth. And our Catalonia office at El País is actually looking now at if there have been any other types of similar incidents this year. And the preliminary numbers show that we're not talking a large number, but there have been a few incidents, some minor attacks on hotels with glass being broken or spray paint graffiti about tourists. So, yeah, it's all very odd.
Very strange.
On a lighter note, also on the tourism front, we've got something, another protest happened this week on the in the town of Logroño, which is in La Rioja, the wine region. And basically a group of people up in this town carried out a pretty entertaining protest against tourists. I don't know what to make of this one. Basically a group of people in this town came out to the press and made lots of disparaging comments about these pilgrims who were walking along the famous Camino de Santiago Trail, the religious pilgrimage, which lots of Brits and French people do. And they came out with this sign saying things like, "less walking, more working." And they told, they told the media in the Middle Ages, pilgrims would come through Logroño and they would bring culture to the city. And now they're just bringing black feet and priest rentals. And these protesters are arguing that the new tourists, all these tourists on the route are driving up rents for locals. So there's lots more Airbnb apartments and locals can't get apartments in this town because of, the huge upswelling pilgrim numbers. But I've got to say, Bill, there's something about the protest that just maybe hints at a bit of hoax or definitely tongue-in-cheek. The signs that these guys were carrying were in English and they seemed to have a few anti-Donald Trump echoes, which didn't quite ring true. So, this is personal speculation here, but if it was a genuine protest, it was a very entertainingly done one.
If you're going to protest against a tourist, be careful what you wish for.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had quite a few people commenting on our Facebook page that, you know, it does sound like biting the hand that feeds you, and that, you know, that these people are just moaning about things that, you know, are actually beneficial to the places where they live. And, you know, it's a different view. I mean, a lot of these, not Logroño specifically, but a lot of towns in Spain would obviously really struggle without tourism. So,
How very, very odd. Okay, secondly, the River Island, half owned by Spain and half owned by France.
Yes, Bill, had you ever heard of this before?
No.
No, me neither. I think it's fantastic. So apparently there's this tiny island.
It's a river island as in an island in a river as opposed to the shop called River Island.
Yes, indeed. Just in case anyone's completely confused, this is an actual river island.
Right.
So we're talking about an island in a river between Spain and France, actually right between the cities of Irun in Spain and Hendaye in France, so up in the Basque country, Pheasant Island. And for 6 months a year, Pheasant Island is ruled, for want of a better word, by France. And then on the 1st of August, it gets transferred back to Spain.
How bizarre.
Okay. So basically what this means, if you happen to manage to stay on this island for a couple of days at the right moment in time, you could visit two countries without moving. So I think it's pretty cool. No, there's no one living on this island, so we're not talking about something that could cause all sorts of administrative chaos. It's technically something that's called a condominium. So what that means is you've got joint ownership of a piece of land by two different countries. You can't visit. Only naval commanders, like very specific naval commanders from France and Spain, can visit. A group goes in every few days to do maintenance works. So every 5 days or so, someone will pop in and do a bit of gardening, so to speak. And in fact, in terms of tourism, seeing as you can't go there, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet to hipsters and say, look, if you really want to do some extreme tourism, this would be a place to go, considering that everywhere else in Spain seems to be overrun. But it's actually considered now a symbol of peace between Spain and France, but has a fairly bloody history. So this whole joint ownership arrangement began at the end of the 30 Years' War in the 1600s. So that means for a few centuries now, Spain and France have been jointly controlling this little piece of island. They've had 7 royal weddings there. They've had prisoner exchanges there between the two countries or between different dynasties or regimes. But the biggest problem they have now is basically that the island has a habit of shrinking. So they've reinforced it, so to speak. I mean, it did get down to a very small size, I think 5 metres by 80 metres, which doesn't mean much to get on with. It's now back up to about 5,000 square metres. You can count the trees in an afternoon if you wanted to. One thing that is worth noting is there are actually no pheasants there. As a famous writer pointed out when he made the visit, I want to say that it was Victor Hugo, but the French writer, but yeah, it was. Sorry, I just have to check that. So yeah. Victor Hugo. Trip there and let us know that there
That's
are no-
great. What a great story. Imagine wanting to build a house on it. The bureaucracy would be immense, wouldn't it?
Well, I think probably you'd have to choose which 6 months of the year that you wanted to build and make it choose which one was going to be easier, Spain or France. I don't envy anyone. But yeah, there's a great photo of it on our website. If you have a look, you will just see that it's basically a riverbank with, a couple of hundred trees on it.
Brilliant. Love it. That's a great story. Love that, George. Finally, earlier on, you're probably too young to remember this, we played the Singing Nuns record, Dominica. That was from 1963. But you're going to talk about the Cycling Nun.
Exactly. I mean, this is a video that went viral everywhere. We're talking about a cycling nun, and we're back on the Camino de Santiago again, actually. So we've got Camino's coming up twice this week. Basically, a couple of guys driving along in their car, and they see a bicycle zooming along a road on the Camino de Santiago, and you know, it's a normal town bike with a basket on the front, etc. And then they spot something a little unusual, and it turns out that the person riding this bike is a nun in full habit and a pair of sandals, and she's zooming down the Camino de Santiago. And one of the occupants of a car sticks a camera out, and there's some great commentary as one says to the other, "Dude, is that a nun?" it's a great little video.
Wonderful. That's another great story. Well, as you say, both of those stories then are worth going to your website to have a look at, because they're both got some nice visuals attached to them. So where do people find you then, George?
Exactly. The visuals for that and another story of people running to fill up deck chairs at a Canary Islands hotel are on the El País in English homepage. If you just Google El País in English or search Facebook for El País in English, you'll find those videos. You'll find the story about the islands and all sorts of other tourism-related malarkey.
Great. Love it, George. Fantastic. Speak to you again very soon. All the best. Thanks, cheers. Bill. Bye-bye.